Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV after show for Justified, Season 6, Episode 2. I'm John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio by Tamara Berg.
Hey, everybody. At Tamara Berg on
That's
Twitter.
That's right, and Steve Bottomley.
Hello, 150 countries.
That's right. And,
I'm at bottomleysteven.com Twitter.
Wait a minute, let me get to a little business here. We've got to quickly do this.
Oh, sorry.
If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to our channel at youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV or check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud and leave a comment or tweet us by using the hashtag ABTVJustified. So let's get into today's program. We had a lot of things happening. And for instance, we had Ty being called a dipshit and a peacock.
Peacock.
That was very interesting. And one of them really pissed him off.
One of them pissed him off.
Yeah, exactly. I thought Tim was great, you know, because he was really, he was just fine. It's always great to see Tim going at it.
Friend of AfterBuzz TV.
That's right. He's been here, and we're going to try to get him here this season as well. And Raylan stops a choo-choo and steals a train, so I thought that's nice.
Absolutely.
But where I want to start off with is Ava. Because last week we talked about, at least I was really happy with what they were going to do with her and really squeezing her and everything like that. And I thought this episode was, if this is what they're going to do with her character for the season, that's great. Because she's, yep. The turn, first of all, it was great that she wakes up and you know she's having this is not a good time for her because she's drinking her breakfast. Mm-hmm. She's having her wild turkey with her bacon.
Coffee.
Or whatever, exactly. So,
yeah,
so
yeah.
That's
the first thing. The first thing they show you is she's drinking in the morning, which means she's under a lot of stress.
Yeah.
Which means decision making is not going to be at the peak. Well, I mean, some people can handle it.
Yeah. Well, this is Harlan, so if you do hear somebody out in the barn, the first thing you do is grab your gun
and go out.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Since when is Boyd so noisy?
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I know.
Boyd is like, oh, gee, I'm making a lot of... Mm-hmm. So, and but she does walk out with the gun.
I've never known
a blonde
to be so
with a gun
industrious.
Always,
yeah, a blonde with a gun says this.
Is always a hot, hot look.
In her nightie.
Yeah. So that's just part of her bed clothes, I guess.
You know, sure.
Should have sent her a call, but...
Sure.
He's so industrious in the morning, he wants to paint the railings. So the whole, shenanigan about whether he hid them. Go ahead.
Well, just that scene. He was he was turning on the charm. He was up on high.
Oh, yeah?
With that, you know. Yeah. Well, you know, speaking in the platitudes and the sort of poetry.
You
anywhere you want. What if I say Iceland? Well,
I don't have a coat that heavy.
Yeah, but he was definitely sort of turning on the charm again.
Well, last week we saw him. You know, we were reminded of how dangerous he could be, and even sitting there with that last shot of him just staring at her in the bed, and now he's being really charming in the morning with her.
Yes.
And that's the scene that kept going through my head when I'm watching this, is last time we saw him, he was just, in a romantic way, staring at her while she sleeps.
Yeah, romantically. So that was a nice thing because, you know, obviously she's not aware of that, so we have, that's his way of showing what he's like when she's not...
paying attention.
Exactly,
yeah.
Not looking at him. And then so this is the face he's putting on. But so the big question for me is, do you think he, because Raylan obviously asks Ava, were they easy to find? So do you think he hid them for her to find? Because I didn't really get that vibe.
I didn't either, but I'm not the smartest watcher. I let them to tell me what I need to know when I need to know it.
Yeah.
I don't try to figure it out because I like to let them do their job and I will do my job as a viewer. So it didn't occur to me. I was a little Ava-like, and she didn't realize that she was being played until Raylan pointed it out to
her. I honestly am not sure whether or not she was being played. Because if she was being played, and let's say he put them there for her to find. The idea that he would blackmail and he would know he would get them back. I mean, that whole thing doesn't make sense to me. If he left them for her, he couldn't be sure what she would do with them. So therefore, why would he play out the blackmail game until he knew he had them?
Well, there's a couple of interesting things on in this episode. One, again, you got to keep remembering he was staring at her when she was sleeping. So yes. He was thinking about something, mm-hmm. and it probably wasn't where they're going to go on vacation. So I am of the camp that, yeah, he was noisy for a reason, uh-huh. and he needed her to know that he was messing around in the barn. I think he did plan him.
But there's the thing. How could he know that that would wake her up? And
well, here's the other thing. I don't know that he planted the actual journal. I don't know if he plays it, and I don't know what he gave Raylan in the briefcase.
Right, we don't know that yet.
True. This is justified, so nothing's over until someone dies.
I'm absolutely with you on the what's in the briefcase thing, you know, because he's handed over a briefcase. We have, right. I suspect it is not the ledger and the land deeds. Mm-hmm. But to what end would he place those things in the barn for Ava to find?
Well, just to test her to see if he can trust her.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only thing I can come up with.
Because let's face it, I mean, he was really clear about Dewey saying I couldn't trust him anymore. So, obviously he and Ava have been their relationship is clearly strained. So he might be testing that water. That's what I'm curious about. That's why I'm posing that question.
Well, so then did she pass the test?
Well, sure. I mean, the two things that I really loved about that storyline. One, that I thought the way they messed with her head. You know, she brings the stuff to Raylan.
Yeah.
And she's talking, you know, how she, you know, finally give you something and I thought you'd be thanking me and then, mm-hmm. and now I'm worried about my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, which I don't know how you couldn't be.
Not only does Raylan say, yeah, put it back, which is like, well, what's it worth? You gotta put it back and Boyd may know you took it.
Yeah, and all that kind of stuff.
So, kind of a double whammy there.
Yeah, I thought that was great, but, and then, the turn, I mean, who knows when she thought of it, all that drive all the way home, she's going, okay, what am I going to do? Yeah. But the turn and the way she did it and the delivery on that, the acting on it, I thought was great.
Well, you know, I mean, last season we got to see her really kind of come up in
prison.
And being active as much as it was hard to watch her in prison and not know, have things not be the storyline being very limited
and too contained. Yeah.
Contained, that's the word I was looking for. And but this, you know, with this, we're getting to see her kind of come up again and get again to be that sort of diva. Not in a bad way,
way. Just she's really commanding the presence in the moment and stuff like that.
And that was the scene where she kind of laid it out and said, "You risked me going back to prison."
And it made such a great argument and really turned it all around on him. And you could even see that,
So there was,
however,
there was.
Whatever power struggle he thought or trip he was going to play or whatever he thought he was going to glean from this, you know, by putting this on her property, I think it turned him on its head because it's like, I wasn't expecting her to come back at me like that.
That's what I liked about it, is they wrap the lie in a truth.
Yeah.
Which is great. Yeah. And the other thing I'm watching is she's going up against Boyd. Boyd knows her.
Yeah.
She can't slip. He's going to see any sort of... So she had to sell that 110%, and she did, terrified the whole time that I may screw up.
And then shot afterwards.
Yes, exactly.
And I love that they took the time for that, because a lot of times shows won't give you those moments. They'll just move on because they're so plot-heavy. But they took the time, character-wise, to see how she reacted afterwards and how the effect it had on her.
Right.
And I just thought it was great that they're giving her... Because, you know, they don't always give actors those moments, and they're clearly giving them, making that a point.
Well, it's so important to show how much she's still afraid of him.
Yeah.
And that, again, that pays off next time they're together. Mm-hmm. So you can't ever dismiss that he's dangerous no matter who you are. And that was a great way to show that.
Yeah. I just thought, and the way she handled it, too, there, you know, slumping down against the door and everything. And then, coming off that, we have her going right at him again, you know, when she shows up at the bar, and just a quick little moment that she did in the bar right before she's going in to see them, she takes
her jacket
off. Nice little look, you know, because it's exactly, you know, she knows what she's playing and what she's doing and what her assets are.
And that's what's interesting. You see her do that setup like, okay, I'm going to go on.
Yeah.
But as soon as she's in the room, it's like, wait a minute, you really didn't need to do that. Because to me, it seemed like she really wanted to just have it the way it was.
Yeah. But it doesn't hurt.
No. which the reason why I like that is I'm looking at them going, okay, so who's playing who here?
Yeah, again, it was another, you know, like you could, if you didn't know anything about, you know, the fact that she had been talking to Raylan, I completely bought that.
Yeah.
Except.
Yeah.
Except there's this whole jail thing looming over her.
Exactly. She's played it well.
Yeah, it's gonna be I really like this episode.
And I love this because it's going to keep pinning her or putting it right in the middle, and then she's either going to have a huge betrayal of Boyd, or they're going to run off together or try to.
Yeah, and it absolutely could go either
way. And that they'll play that. I'm hoping they'll play that the entire season.
Well, if they run off, they better not run off to Florida.
Correct.
That could be a problem.
Of all places. Let's go to Florida.
Yeah. I did like this episode and how they did position Ava. And they really, she's not dependent on anybody.
No,
yet,
she
yet
is really
she's dependent on two different people.
Everybody, because she's stuck, you know. Yeah. She's just trying to find her way through this. And no matter which way she goes, it sucks.
Yeah.
To some degree. Anyway, okay. Yeah. So I just thought, again, I really appreciate what they're doing with the character, and I think that, that Joelle's doing a fabulous job portraying it. Go ahead.
You know, there was an interesting choice to have that scene where she meets Raylan in that run down the auto graveyard. They've hit this beat a few times that Harlan's dying. This is a dying town, and they're starting to show more of the, you know, the stuff.
The dead bodies, so to speak.
Yeah. The decaying parts.
Yeah,
that was nice. That was nice. Anyway, okay, let's move on to Boyd. Since we just talked a little bit about Boyd, let's finish up the Boyd story. Because clearly he's not getting along with his partners, Wynn and Catherine. Because Catherine doesn't trust him at all.
She won't even get him a cup of coffee.
No, I mean, and it was horrible Southern hospitality.
Yeah.
And Mary should know better.
Yes, she should.
She's got a Keurig. How hard are those things? You just drop a cup and hit a button. Yeah.
Maybe the water needed to be refilled, and that's just a whole process, Steve.
Okay.
So, and you know, Catherine picked him for his, bank robbing expertise.
For his bank robbing expertise, yet he's using their intel and still screws up.
Well,
so who's to blame there? He showed up.
How does
with
he screw up?
Right, except they're kind of looking at him going,
yeah, like it's him.
Where's the money, boy?
Yeah.
And they flat out ask him.
Sure. Well, no, actually, they didn't. Are you asking me? And Wynn says, doesn't really answer the question.
Yeah.
Should we be asking you?
Yeah, exactly. All that other nonsense. Yeah. But that was great. You know, anytime you get Wynn in a room, he's great. Jerry.
I read somebody talking about how, Wynn Duffy's back to challenge Boyd in the crazy hair, craziest hair on TV competition.
Yeah, crazy hair off.
I'm not sure who's been that.
I don't know either.
Crazy hair off.
Yeah.
Well, they are not real happy with the team. I thought it was interesting that Catherine, when she's talking to Markham, what's his first name?
Avery
Markham, played by Sam Elliott.
Suspiciously like the narrator of... Sorry, is that where you were going?
No.
Okay.
Like who?
The narrator of Big Lebowski.
Oh, not this one, dude.
I don't know how that works. Oddly, it sounds just like Sam Elliott.
It's weird. How when she's coming up with a situation, she goes for Gardner.
Yeah, he's a landscaper.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm like, well, that's really how they see Boyd. He's never going to be
just
more than just helping a gardener.
Yes. Which is who he was the season with, was it the Cherry Hill? Sorry for getting the name wrong. The gang.
Oh, don't ask
Cherry
me.
Hills. I know we're going to get killed.
Oh, Twitter him at AfterBuzz.
Thank you. All right. Yeah.
So
he's a gang of executives
Yeah, they just think he's a rube and, they can just do whatever they want because he's just to help.
Yeah.
So we wonder if he set her up, if he set up Ava. I don't think he gets an answer on whether he did or whether she, bought into it until the very end when she reminds him of the pizza place.
Yeah.
And I don't think she told Raylan that.
No, she didn't.
No.
But,
So I'm wondering, did she need to bring something? Is she positioning herself with Boyd? Because she knows how smart Boyd is.
Yeah, right.
So, or was it really a peace offering of, come on, let's be the team.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get the old gang back together.
We're not going to know.
Yeah, which is great.
And it sure explained why everyone's hanging out at the pizza place.
Right?
Yes. We'll get to them in a minute. But so the other thing with Raylan.
Sorry. Here's where I got a little confused with the Boyd story.
Okay.
We see him with Catherine and
Wynn Duffy.
Wynn Duffy.
Uh-huh.
And that's not going well. And then he's reaching out to Calhoun.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yes.
Is that on their orders, or is he going reservation a little bit?
No, Wynn says, there's the ledger. There might be something to it. And then Boyd says, you better hope it's worth at least my cut of the $3 million. So Wynn says there's some value to that. And I think he takes it upon himself To pursue that, yeah. But uh-huh. It's Wynn that presents that as, hey, that's, there's something of value there.
Right. Okay, so Boyd says, I'm going to go ahead and pursue this, which is why I'm thinking, I don't know what was in that briefcase, but if he was supposed to pursue this with Wynn Duffy and Catherine saying, you better make this right.
He's not handing it over.
Well, none of right? that, but I don't know.
That's kind of a bad news to bring back to the team.
Except here's this. Right. I don't know that he cares because he has no allegiance to them at the moment. I mean, because they put him out. They gave him all this information, and it did not prove well.
But he does care about the $3 million, and according absolutely. To him, that's what that ledger should be worth when he was talking to Calhoun. That's where I got right. a little confused about, well, who's pulling the strings on this deal? And if it's Catherine and Wynn, are you going to give that up so quickly?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. They have no idea how much the thing is worth. They were looking for $3 million in cash. They don't know how much the ledger is worth. They have no idea.
Right.
So I don't think that he's worried at all about going back to Wynn or Catherine to say, hey, you know, there was nothing there. The ledger isn't worth anything. I don't think he cares. Because once he cares in the sense that, shoot, I'm not going to make any money out of this, but I don't think he cares. I don't think he sweats Wynn, Duffy, and Catherine. And the fact that he didn't get anything with ledger, I don't think he cares about that part of it. What he cares about is I didn't get any money. That's why I think he's destitute or feeling horrible when he's in the bar and Ava comes in because my day sucked, I got nothing, and all that other stuff until the pizza thing. Well, I don't think he's worried about Wynn or Catherine at all. Because you sent me in there saying that there'd be cash. And there weren't. That's on you, not me.
Right. Now, but remember last week when they opened the box and the guys were around yeah. saying, we got the wrong box, mm-hmm. Boyd specifically said, no, we got the right box.
That's right.
Well, so but that's okay. The wrong stuff was in the right box, mm-hmm. I guess. I guess what they mm-hmm. thought was all this money that this guy is using yes. to buy the land yes. was supposed okay. to be in
that's
this box.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Why don't you speak English?
They sent Boyd in there because their intel, meaning Wynn and Catherine's intel, was that Calhoun had the money in the safe deposit box.
Right.
And that proved not to be true. Right. That's why I don't think he cares that they know. Look, you sent me in there and your intel sucked.
Okay. See, I interpreted that a little bit differently. I agree with you now, mm-hmm. but the way I interpreted it was that Boyd was like, no, this is worth something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got the right box, not in the sense that we got in the right box and the wrong stuff was in there, but we got the right box, right. and this is what we were looking for. You guys just don't recognize it.
Right.
But sorry,
that's how I took it too. Mm-hmm. That's how I took it.
No, I think you just realized. No, we got the right. There's no cash here, but that thing is worth
money.
That's
but,
all.
Yeah, because why it would wasn't you put, what, but it wasn't.
Of course,
what he
it's
expected.
Worth something to somebody because it's in a safe deposit box.
Yeah.
So you know, he just needs to figure out how to monetize it as this.
But if it's not, if the journal really isn't worth anything, they've spent a lot of time positioning Calhoun and this whole thing about.
Well, we know what it's worth
now. Yeah, because as we learned,
it's
from
Ty Walker's and their and whoever Ty Walker.
Well, it's worth whatever. It's worth whatever Calhoun can get together if they still had the journal, which they just gave to Raylan.
Mm-hmm. Or we don't know that.
Maybe.
We don't know that.
Right.
We assume that was in the briefcase, but we don't know.
There could have been a
really
duplicate
sorry.
Made.
Mm-hmm. So what we find out, though, is what is in the ledger
right.
from the
right.
bank manager.
Which is a blackmail ledger.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's Calhoun kept all the records from all the deals he made.
And how did he find that out?
I thought this was a great way.
That is the weirdest beach ever.
Yeah, but that was the best way to give X-Pause I've ever seen.
Wow.
Like,
pull the money out and you can tell me all about it. So while he's getting service, he's like blathering about his problems, man. Yeah. Wow.
It was terrific.
But she was fantastic.
Oh, she was fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
She was great. The way she comes out and goes, do you want me to tell him? Okay. And then what was her line that she said?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was it.
Yes,
I don't know.
What are the blackmailers?
So funny.
Yeah. What a great, I mean, because they have a history on Justified of bringing people back and do little small parts, and they like him so much, and they did such a good job that I'm expecting that we'll see her again in some fashion.
She was so brilliant.
Reminded me of Candy.
She was fantastic.
We saw Candy a couple times. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that they'll bring her back.
Caprice.
Yeah, she did such a good job. So,
fine
okay.
car, fine hooker.
So, and poor Calhoun,
wasn't she Mrs.
Schreier? Yeah, that's right.
Ew,
sorry. But, like a lot of our characters in Justified, he's in way over his head again because he's thinking the easy money's the easy way.
And Calhoun you're talking
Calhoun,
about.
Calhoun,
yes.
Absolutely.
And oh, yeah. I got right here. A death clock is ticking.
Exactly.
So.
You do.
As soon as he lies about the box, I'm going, dude, you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And okay, but what I really liked about that is we got to see Ty with him. And when Ty hears from Choo-Choo, and we'll get to Choo-Choo in a second, but when Ty hears that Choo-Choo got his card taken, and he freaks out and goes crazy, and Calhoun's, and you just go, okay.
Oh, temper,
this,
temper.
Exactly. This guy's not, you know, he doesn't have very good impulse control, shall we say.
He might be taking some of the oxy from a couple seasons ago.
It could be,
I think there's a relation.
Yeah. He reminded me of Quarles.
I think he's Quarles' cousin.
So we got to see that, and then we also got to see how Calhoun is afraid of him, and not only that, but we saw that Calhoun, well, how do we say this, son? He so easily kind of, well, he allowed Caprice to give it up to Raylan so quickly because he realizes how much he's over his head. He just wants to be the guy, the realtor. Please, can I just go back to being the one that sells the most real estate in Harlan County?
That is where he shines.
That's it.
I just want the plaque and the banquet that goes with it.
The spaghetti dinner in my honor. That's all I need.
That's really all I want.
Unfortunately, he's going to end up as part of the sauce, I believe.
Poor Calhoun.
So we could start a pool on which episode he bites it. But,
right.
He wrote the wrong things down and kept it in the wrong place. But so as a lesson, if you start a blackmail journal, keep it under your bed.
Steve's got a pro tip for everybody.
But see, now he wrote that just for security.
That's right. Well,
in the wrong hand is blackmail.
According to Caprice, his legal counsel.
She could be a law student for all we know.
Well, probably.
Some of those girls have surprising skills.
Mouths? Isn't he your mouthpiece?
Yes.
So in a way.
Yes, in a way she was.
She is a mouthpiece. Yes. So, all right.
Okay, gentlemen.
All right, moving on. So since that moves us into Ty, Bill, let's go ahead and go full on into Ty. We learned that Ty Walker is one of the principals of Tiger. Is it Tiger Hawk? Did I get that right?
Tiger Hawk Securities. Yes, I guess he's the one of the main guys. Yeah. I'm guessing our good friend Sam probably runs it.
Seabass.
No.
Oh, you mean Sam Elliott?
Sam Elliott. Tiger
Sam Elliott. Yes. Okay.
So my question here is too, who is Ty Walker and why is his nose running so much?
Yeah.
And you have an answer on one of those.
He may just have allergies.
Was there not a postmortem, you said?
It was just something that the actor did. He always brings interesting stuff to to the set, he decided.
Yeah,
so it's not necessarily like plot point related, but they always have
But he's got a runny nose and a temper problem. I'm thinking, okay, well the guy's doing coke.
That's 2 points.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
First of all, absolute shades of Quarles.
Wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes.
The gentle, nice guy, talking about sunshine and then
positivity.
Until you call him a peacock.
Yeah.
Right.
And I love that scene where he goes and blows his nose on their laundry.
His nose on the sheets.
And he seemed kind of confused. Peacock.
Yeah.
Like, he did not.
I don't think he's ever been called that.
No.
But it's just And how would you know? How would you know if if I call the guy peacock, he's gonna.
Well, the funny thing about that is that it's it's like a nice put down, because peacocks are quite pretty.
Certainly a colorful one.
Peacocks are quite showy and quite pretty.
Yep. And he's strutting around.
She did not mean it as a compliment, and he did not take it as one.
Yeah. It's the polite Southern insult.
Exactly.
But they furthered the idea that, obviously they're buying or trying to buy up all kinds of property, and we still don't know why yet.
Right.
And, we get to know that he has no problem upping his ante to try to get people to move. And if so, they would choose not to. They'll take other matters. Now, I can't wait to see what they've done.
They repainted the living room.
Oh, is that what they did?
Yeah, that was why they had the bag of painting goods and all that plastic.
Yeah.
Because a good paint job, you do have to plastic
a lot
of stuff.
Yes, you do. Preparation is everything.
I got a little bit of a confusion on the time jump there. Mm-hmm. Because last we see them going in to paint the living room. And then suddenly they show up at the pizza place.
Yeah, okay, and hours later.
It just took me a couple of seconds. There wasn't a transport thing there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and he did threaten them, essentially, when the couple that he was offering to buy, mm-hmm. you're going to want to take this.
Yeah. You don't want to send me away.
No, you don't.
Yeah. But, of course, not what do you do? I mean, it's your home. I mean, the way they made a great case, you know, that we've had this for how you know, his grandpappy started it and all this other stuff. So we're going to sell it to you.
Right.
The actor looked really familiar. I did a IMDb, and he was in Loopers. He was 12 Years a Slave. He's in a lot of television. I forgot to write his name down because, you know, sick.
Well, I like how Raylan described him. Long-winded, peculiar way of talking.
Yeah, man, that was great. I forgot to mention that when we were talking about that storyline. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great. When Boyd, this blackmailer, he wouldn't be a long-winded, peculiar type.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want to talk about the meeting in the hall when we're talking about Raylan?
Yeah, I was about to mention that now.
Go.
Well, first of all, it's the first time in the season where we got to see the two together, the prodigal son, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cain and Abel. So, and great little showdown, you know, talking all around it, but not saying anything, but saying everything without actually hitting it on the nose.
Absolutely. It drives me crazy. Why is all the really, really good writing always in the last season? There were two awesome moments in this. When Ava has to go up against Boyd and get angry and legitimately, like, how could you do this to me?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And when Boyd and Raylan, it was everything from I'm going to take you down to remember the good old days.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was seamless. And, and they were positioned just so great.
And one of the things I thought was a nice continuity, because he asked, is this blackmailer, was a long-winded, peculiar kind of speaking? And the first thing Boyd does, you know, fancy meeting you here. And then he goes off on this thing, very long, peculiar.
But what that phrase means.
Yeah, exactly. And there it is. There's that long-winded, peculiar.
I was just saying hi, Boyd.
Exactly. And then then they had the whole thing. I mean, and it's like, God, I hope they do more of this dance in this season, because that scene was just crisp.
Oh, it was. I would really like to know how many times they worked that and how, you know, how much they finessed it. And because it seemed like they didn't waste a word. And there, all the history and everything that they, not only that they had to keep, but they had to, like, reintroduce it, because we haven't been on this territory for a while.
And everything. And they're really setting the context for this whole thing. Well, let's face it, how many times have we talked about when Raylan had a child, if it was going to change him, especially through that whole season. And then they crystallized it with him, has it changed you? Or, you know, and then we'll find out. There you go. We're going to know.
Yeah, I love that they ended on that beat.
Yeah, because then clearly they were hitting that thing, they're hitting the child thing on this episode. Tim's talking about it. They're looking at her on the camera.
I have something to say about that.
Oh, okay.
Graham Yost, in his postmortem, talked about the person interviewing him said, but Boyd would never hurt the baby or Winona, right? Right, Graham? And he said, his answer was, it's a short flight from Lexington down to Miami Beach.
Oh, God.
That baby can't move very fast. Then he says, no, I will tell you this. We threatened Winona and the child's lives at the end of season 4, and we said, well, we've done that. We can never do that again.
Mm-hmm.
However,
they do bring characters back.
We don't believe him, I think, is basically what we want to say about
that. Well, here's the thing. He is a father now, and you've got to, at least, you don't have to actually threaten them. Go down there, threaten him.
Literally.
But you have to think. You have to let Raylan know that that could be a possibility.
That you're threatening the life that he wants to create.
Exactly.
Yes, I agree.
You got to put something at risk for him. And what's that at risk for him? But that.
Yeah.
Because other than that, he doesn't care.
And he gives it up to Boyd right there in that scene. You know, I'm going to Florida because I've been transferred.
Exactly.
One of the lines that I really liked in that scene was, "When you hand me those items, do it slow, or I'll shoot."
Right. Yeah. But, you know, as a friend.
You know.
Exactly. You know, I was watching it, and really what was coming up was like, couldn't one of you shift just a little bit so you guys could be friends again?
Yeah.
You know? That's what's so great about those two.
But they're never friends. Raylan had said, we've never been friends. It's only Boyd that's
It would be so cool if they were.
No.
You know? Yeah. Just come on.
No,
just,
because those crisp scenes wouldn't be there. Because
I know.
Enmity.
That's what's so good about that scene.
That's good.
Well, and you know, as much as we love them, they are obviously opposing each other. We're not going to be having a lot of those scenes because they need to use them very carefully because they're so powerful.
Yeah.
So we've got to love them when we get them.
Yeah, just a taste. Just a taste. Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of things that we love, we have to talk about Choo Choo.
Choo Choo.
Oh my God. Just when you think, okay, what are you guys going to do?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, because they always bring these really great, colorful characters. And this this one, it's just gone. Oh, just first of all, the first time you see him, okay, Ty, of course, says, hey, you see those two guys leaving Calhoun's, go follow them, right? Mm-hmm. And then you finally, you know, you have the scene between Tim and Raylan. And again, another great scene because for me, this was a terrific way to use Tim because I love him. Yeah. You
got
to short bust him, you got
to flapjack
special attention him. It's like, I'm just making shit up.
I'm just making stuff up by this point.
Ah, Tim was great in this. Okay, so you had that, again, another great scene. You can just see these guys, you know, the classic where you feel the history that they have. They work together. This is how they shoot the shit and all this other stuff. And he's just pull over here. So, and of course, when we finally cut in to see Choo-Choo the first time, he's on the phone with Ty, we presume. You see his leg up there and his head all it's cramped in the car. So, and I'm going, what? Oh,
what's going
okay.
on?
I get it. You know,
and it gets out.
I just go, yeah. And he's a tall drink of water. But the, you know, the what a great shot too. The way when Ray's standing in the before that, but when Ray's standing in the street.
Yeah.
And again, you know, just harkening back to the Western kind of aspect of this, you've got the showdown there. And that was just a great shot and everything. I just loved the cinematography in that. They had a couple of really good shots in this one, too, I liked. Of course, then when he finally gets out, then you get that shot. And and then the idea that he's called, just, you, I don't follow you.
Oh, my God, that was so funny.
It reminded me of Harlan's version of Who's On First.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Because no matter what Raylan was saying, you couldn't get past the first
step of this conversation. Are you saying you're so dumb that you can't follow me?
Yeah, are you really stupid or are you really smart?
Oh, my God.
I'm not following you.
Yeah.
I want to mention that he's Choo-Choo is played by Duke Davis Roberts, and he is a very accomplished MMA fighter.
Oh, wow. I didn't.
Is he?
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Well, they found a great character for him to play.
And, right, exactly. And he played it so dead on perfect.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the vet with a head injury or who's not right in the head or however you want to put it. And, yeah, and he just.
And when he comes on hard and comes on fast.
That's right. When I hit you.
I think I'll choo-choo.
You
know, they did this beat a couple of times. They did the Raylan trying to follow the conversation with choo-choo. And then, again, with Caprice.
Right.
It's kind of, wait, why am I talking to you? So they were able to bounce him around a couple of times. Because it's always fun to see Raylan a little confused.
Yeah. And behind. He's usually ahead of everything, but it's great when he's not.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then I love how they tag that scene with, there's somebody you've got to meet. He talks to Tim, which is perfect because Tim picks him up.
And again, my God, this is such that scene was so great.
The way that they get that X-Boz in was great.
Mm-hmm. You mean in front of Seabass?
Because, you know, Choo-Choo is a talker. Yeah. I guess when he wants to.
Well, you know, they were in the sandbox together.
That's right.
He's going to tell him everything. So. All right, so that does take us to the pizza portal where we see Seabass. And what's his real? Well, his character name, I know they call him Seabass.
Sean.
Okay.
Sean.
Yeah, of course, because he's redhead. And that's when we learned a little bit more. And it was great because you had so much information in that pizza joint about, you know, the whole thing. But it's none of it's X-Boz, or at least doesn't feel that way.
With the Tiger Hawk.
Exactly,
and
all that kind of stuff. The only thing
I've come away with so far is Tiger Hawk is a bunch of guys that were private security in the sandbox.
Right.
And there's something in that pizza place that they really want.
Because it used to be a bank.
But for some reason, they need more property in order to pull this whole thing off.
Yeah,
so
how is all that going to figure
no
it out?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
I can't
figure that out yet.
I got nothing. I'm just thinking.
You look like you had something.
I'm guessing the pizza's not very good because Seabass is done.
He wants sandwiches.
From the biscuit company.
Biscuit company. Like, what is he talking about?
So, one of the things that they talk about was there's a vault in a bank.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
the pizza portal.
And apparently in the city of Santa Clarita, where they shoot a lot of Justified, they're literally, I think this is what I read, that there literally is a bank that got converted into a pizza joint.
Yeah, I think I'm familiar with it.
And it's relatively common because, if you have a vault, that big giant safe, it's hard to dismantle and it's hard to move. Mm-hmm. And so generally speaking, they, you know, sort of weld them open a lot of places or, you know, dismantle the locks.
Locking mechanism,
And then, you know, the leave them as like the, you know, the high end dining room is this way or whatever.
This is our cooler.
You
know, so, where we keep our storage kits.
But yeah, obviously it's not a novelty for these guys. It's something that they're definitely intending on using, or, you know, maybe there's a false floor.
I don't know. I have to say, one of my favorite moments was when Raylan comes back and he throws him the keys.
Yes.
It reminded me of Night Shift. Wait, maybe that's a movie from way back when with Michael Keaton. Yeah, exactly.
Look it up, kids.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's a great movie. I watched that and I'm like going, I just wonder how many times did they have to shoot that where somebody didn't start busting up, because that is just hilarious. Yeah. I watched that probably four or five times in a row. Just his look and that thing hitting the thing. And God, that's great. And not only that, but Raylan's look afterwards, like, oh my God.
That was really good.
He's a great character. And the genius will be if you don't, you know, give him too much. Just let him be choo-choo and don't overplay him.
Yeah.
I feel a little sad for him. He does have shrapnel in his head.
He does. He's all right, though.
And then he
just doesn't follow you, Steve.
One other line which I really loved was when Choo-Choo and Seabass are getting into it, and he goes, "You want to ride the train? Oh, I'm all on board."
I got that written down. You want to ride the train? Ride the train.
Your name is Choo-Choo. Definitely. I know you're threatening, but your name is Choo-Choo.
We definitely got a lot of funny in this episode, which was fabulous.
Yeah, this was, to me, it was clicking, man. Yeah. They had humor. They had, you know, the whole, but they had great acting as well. I mean, it was just firing on all pistons.
You know what?
This one.
I think special effects was on vacation too, because no one got shot, no squibs, no blood.
Yeah,
I was wondering about that sofa that Win Duffy was sitting on, because the last time we saw that sofa,
somebody had got a cigarette.
Somebody got
boomed
on that.
Yeah, I they probably replaced it.
Mm-hmm. I would hope so.
Yeah, I think they had to replace a few things in that,
because the deep cleaning might not go deeply enough on them.
We didn't talk enough about Avery yet, because obviously it was great to see Sam.
Yes.
Sam Elliott, of course. He's going to be playing Avery Markham. And they have a history with Catherine.
Yep.
I assume they were lovers at some point, even while she was married. But, you know, that she didn't.
He had to blow out of town
dropped a dime on her husband.
Yep.
Was going to give him up too, but I thought they laid that in nicely, because you know, when she's saying, so how would you handle somebody who wasn't loyal to you? And he of course, you just pay them well, because then they don't want to bite the hands to feed you. But if they do, what would you do? And would you take a finger? You know, he goes, take an eye, you know, take two eyes. It's a start. So they go, okay,
he's for real.
Yeah.
So
I thought that was great. How he's pretty pragmatic about you know, it's nothing personal. It's a business decision. Right. If I only take one eye, he still has a lot. No, I got to take them both
as a start.
And I don't doubt that everyone who works for him knows that.
Uh-huh.
That's why he pays them well.
Exactly.
Which is a much better strategy anyway. What I thought was interesting was Catherine really wasn't on board with the whole pay them more.
No.
Which, and again, the rumor is she's even more ruthless than her husband. Mm-hmm. So,
her dead
Boyd,
husband.
You better not screw up.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see how that
So, yeah,
plays
now in. Catherine and Markham are kind of teaming up. I'm like stoned.
Yeah.
Albeit.
Yeah. But it was
with
a
the good
one.
Stuff.
That's right.
No paranoia.
No paranoia.
Mm-hmm. No unwanted paranoia, because everybody should be paranoid in Harlan County right now. Legitimately.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Interview with Sam Elliott talking about being cast on this.
Yeah.
The people were asking him, you know, are you instantly recognizable by your voice?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, basically, I don't have the exact quote, but he said, basically, that's the joke in my house. You know, we go someplace and family always goes, just keep your mouth shut and we'll be fine.
Because they may not recognize him.
But they, but especially without talking, the mustache, but if he starts talking, I know you.
How do I know you? It's true. I mean, you can't
keep your mouth shut and we'll be fine.
But not only that, I'll bet he could sell you anything.
Oh my God.
You know, if he had a product, I'll buy it.
Yeah, especially if it's a truck.
There's, yes.
Yeah. He's had such a long, storied career. I mean, when has he never been good? I mean, he's always good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, anyway, it was great to see him, because I don't get to see him often enough. But just that little scene there was nice. You know, cause, and, of course, we'll see him throughout the season. So
do you know what his first credit was? Did I tell you this?
Butch Cassidy.
Yes. But he's a shadow on the wall.
That's right.
You can't see him. You literally don't see him.
So was Catherine Ross, who was his wife.
Yeah. Although they did not meet on that shoot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They didn't get married for years later. But anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. So. Interesting.
Where was their first date?
That I don't know. Yeah.
Hey, you know, little thing.
Yeah.
Dewey's necklace.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
we
talked
about that. That's right.
Okay,
so first of all, you know, we were seeing the guy. I don't know his name. The guy sweeping up the bar. Earl, was that?
Earl.
Really? Okay, thanks. Anyway, he's sweeping up and he finds that thing. He's modeling it. So it's that part was like odd and weird.
I thought he was going to be wearing it walking
that's
in to see.
That's what I thought.
Boy.
That's like the problem.
Ghost of Christmas Past.
But then he puts it on the step. Squirrel?
Squirrel, I believe.
Rodent, whatever the hell it is. And I'm going,
yesterday's dinner?
Now, obviously, I'm thinking, okay, that's going to come back, because at some point, Raylan's going to see that when they start realizing Dewey's gone, and where the hell is he? Right?
Dewey doesn't go anywhere without that necklace.
Yeah, exactly.
So that necklace is without Dewey. Dewey's no more.
Woting Graham Yost, Graham Yost, as Chekhov said, a blood-spattered gator teeth necklace that is found in the first act is instrumental in the third.
There you go.
Chekhov was known for that.
Yes, he was.
But he said it in Russian.
He says, we'll get down the road and you will see that does not go unseen again. There are times when we'll just do stuff like that because we have no idea how it's going to pay off, but we're banking on it paying off in this case.
Yeah.
That's what always amazes me about this show is more often you hear it, well, in this show, they've copped to it that we weren't sure, but we threw it out there to see what happened. That's such an awesome way to kind of like just let the natural idea come through, and that
shows a hell of a lot of trust that they find the way. But you know, I think it's always, you know, we've written, you know, okay, I'll just get into the, I mean, I don't know how many times we've written scripts and I go, I don't know what the, but you almost always will find the answer that's already there,
right?
And
exactly.
It's always, you just go, wow, there's, and it looks like it's genius, but it, you know, and in some weird way it's you know, from the ethers or whatever, so it is, in a sense.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, when this is your life, you know, 24 hours a day for years, the stories kind of, you know, come to you, for lack of a better word, you know, with the ability to connect to something later. I mean, I just think it's not so much, it sounds really mystical the way that I'm saying that, but I think it's absolutely your brain making connections subconsciously before you make them consciously.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it is always going on there.
Yeah. So, and I just love that they do that because, you know, they leave it hanging and they figure, well, at some point we'll get that. And then, wait, there it is.
It is.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. I have a favorite moment.
All right, what is it?
Yeah.
When Ty is with the bank manager.
Yeah.
And he takes the bags.
And the groceries.
He goes, fingers. I loved it. Like, yeah, okay. There's the psycho worried about
it.
And I don't know about you guys. Were you just waiting for Joyce to get one in the head?
Oh, yes! Something. Because, again, the way they decided to do, you know, even just the blocking of the scene. Yeah. We're at night, first of all. They set it then at night. Yeah. And he comes out of nowhere.
Scares her.
She's already freaked out because the bank was robbed. And, you know, being with the marshals and all that other stuff has got to, you know. And then he speaks so polite about it, but not.
Show you a thing or two about omelets.
Exactly. And I'm going, yeah, but that's just weird to begin with. Yeah. Like, yeah, okay, sure, let's just go in my house and have you make me an omelet.
Sure.
Eggs.
Yeah.
That's how I get
so
when I'm hungry. Can't form a thought.
Yeah.
Fingers.
Yeah.
Fingers.
I mean, it's great because you can't quite get a handle on him. You know what I mean? He's so, not charming, but he is positive. He looks like he's upbeat, and, you know, but then you say peacock and he's nuts, right? And then so I just thought that scene was a perfect scene to let you know, like, okay, you do not know where this guy is.
Right.
Because I thought first, yeah, sure, just that trunk was open. Until he closed it, I thought, well, she's going to end up in that trunk.
Yeah.
Right? Didn't you think with the groceries and the whole thing?
Yeah, no. So I just kept waiting. I just kept waiting for him to smile and then boink in the forehead.
But, you know, she didn't call him a peacock, so.
True.
No.
Although they did have the one line earlier where the woman who's hanging the laundry says, I feel like I'm chatting with the devil himself.
Oh, yeah, you are the devil.
That's billboard.
True.
Billboard.
Yeah. So, all right.
I enjoyed it. Enjoyed it.
I got some news.
Let's get on to our news.
Thank you.
AfterBuzz TV News.
A couple of shout outs and a couple of just comments from people. Kiss Lena. Kiss Lena. Nell Gleejints. That's her favorite line.
Oh, Nell Gleejints.
Nell Gleejints. And
Malfiescence.
Okay. Jojo Sterlitz, who's one of our fans from the Netherlands, who always gives us great information.
Oh, yeah.
He's super fantastic. He tells us Ty Walker is a former mercenary.
Yeah, we learned while he was in Fallujah. I'm not sure.
Specifically a mercenary.
Well, yeah, we thought private, so.
And he is the first person who pointed out to me that Constable Bob will be back. Patton Oswalt tweeted this. He says, "You underestimate me at your own peril."
Nice.
See you guys in January. Oh, and he's got a picture of his Constable pin on his collar there. So he says, "See you in January."
Good.
But this is the last episode of January, so I guess we're not going to actually see him in January.
But maybe he just meant the show.
The show, yeah.
Yeah,
Constable Bob will definitely be back. We're super excited about that. A couple of other fans told us about that, but JoJo is the first one.
So Netherlands has got a better line on this stuff.
Not crazy in a bad way, but he's like really committed to the show and does a ton of research. And when we have questions, he answers them for us, because we don't get to do all the all the research that we would like to, but we get some great stuff from him.
Wow, thanks,
let's
dude.
See. Okay. BGM ZZ said that we got all the right boxes. We talked about that, and he said he hopes you feel better, Steve.
Thank you.
And
I do.
Be glad that we don't live on the East Coast where we're getting snowed.
That's true.
Super friend of the show, Ben Hamill, says, "Woo! Glad to have Justified back. All is right in the world, and nice to see everyone back,
Ben.
Even Steve."
So they giveth and they taketh away.
Even Steve. So he's sad about Dewey Crow going and never getting his $6 blowjob. Also, shout out to Adam Moody and Rashad 0026. And from Love Justified on iTunes, said that it looks like it's going to be a great season. Thinks Boyd is having doubts about Ava.
Yeah.
Hence the creepy thing where he was watching her sleep.
Yes,
so thank you very much for all the shout outs, all the wonderful tweets, all the information. We really appreciate you guys.
And, absolutely. Thank you very
keep
much.
Keep coming. It's super fun.
And questions and comments and all that stuff.
We are also trying to line up some of the cast and crew from the show to come in.
So, and a couple of new ones. We're working on those now.
Yeah. So let us know who you might like to see.
I like to think Dewey's getting a $6 blowjob in heaven.
Right now in heaven.
I think so.
Yeah.
That's what I like to think about.
He's got a fair amount of friends there, so.
I'll bet that's what Boyd was thinking about when he was watching Ava sleep.
Maybe. Dewey getting a $6 blowjob.
Yeah, he's back.
You just went into a weird.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We were doing so well.
We were, Steve.
Went there.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
And on that note, thank you. I have to do one of those.
Yeah.
All right. So, all right. Does anybody have any thoughts of where we want to go and predictions or anything?
I have one more thing. Limehouse is going to be making an appearance this season, which Graham Yost confirmed, and that's from one of our YouTube followers who told us about that. So yeah, we've got a lot coming in. Remember the whole Limehouse thing and him not having the money, and where's the money, and the cooler,
and all
that?
So you think that might be part of the pizza joint?
Wasn't under the church.
You're postulating that? Oh, well, that's true. It wasn't.
It wasn't under the church.
Well, he hides his pigs and his money in
his
pigs.
In piggy bags, right. Exactly. So. But, just something to think about.
Well, I actually don't have any predictions. Anybody have any?
You know what? I don't.
So far, I think they've been really chintzy with the information in a good way.
Yes.
They're only giving us little pieces here and there because, they don't want us to be ahead, which is great, because I never like to be ahead of the show. I want to know.
I'm really happy where I am right now with this show. I can't wait for the next episode.
Exactly.
And this show's writing has been so good.
It's like we were talking about with Ava. There are two choices that she has that are opposing choices, and I absolutely see she could go both, either way, either way, very easily. And that's one of the things I love about the show, because I'm never throwing the implausibility flag, which I throw on a lot of.
But also don't forget that they made everybody remember what her roots are. She shot her first husband.
Yep.
She shot. Did she shoot Boyd too?
No.
Raylan shot Boyd. So, but she did shoot the other guy that was messing with
the girl.
That's
right. Yeah, absolutely.
So, she may be the only one left standing.
But it's true. But one of the things that they're best at is, even Raylan is like, you could see him taking Boyd out. That whole conversation he had with Art.
Yeah.
Want to take him out.
Yeah.
But I can actually see him, all right, no, I don't want to go out this way because...
Right, because then he had the same it's the mirrored conversation with Rachel.
That's
saying, no, we're going to go with the Rico.
Rico thing.
And does a baby change a man?
Exactly.
I mean, it's a lot of
that's
different things
saying.
Going on.
Put him right in that and going, okay, where is he going to come down on that?
I can't believe this.
I can see it going either way on there, too.
Is Boyd asking that about that because he wants to try to have a family with Ava one day and he's curious? I mean...
No, I think he's just,
sure.
No, I don't think that. No,
I think so. I think that's what he was thinking about. Never mind.
Right, in Iceland with his big coat. We didn't need these, our Kleenex or our cough drops.
Yay!
So maybe next week we'll be even better.
All right, we got to get out of here. Yeah. Let everybody know where they can.
Oh, Bottomley Steven on Twitter.
At Tamara Berg on Twitter. Also, my website is TamaraCentral.com.
It's so awesome.
Look at it.
And you can only find me at AfterBuzz TV, so tweet me there.
Yeah.
AfterBuzz TV, all right. John.
We got to get out of here. Thanks, everybody,
Thank you, guys.
We'll talk to you next time.
Mwah.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.